I have been enjoying the unity of mother and daughter weaving through the crowds like a single strand of yarn. As I leave Zell with the smith, I feel a sharp loss. I am sacrificing our wholeness, though the sacrifice is all for her sake. The only consolation is that the separation is temporary. I am grateful to this unwitting smith and the beautiful Virgin Mare. They present the answer I sought. Now I can go off to buy the goods for Zell's birthday surprise. The flash of worry that crossed Zell's face when I suggested she stay alone at the smithy soothes my heart. My daughter will not stray. She is as bereft without me as I am without her. I cut through the edge of the market. After 13 years of living on the Arm, I am unused to the press and smell of human flesh. I feel foreign from the crowds, almost invisible. I ease around a barrel of eels and find myself looking at the translucent eyes of newly dead fish. The fishmonger extols their virtues. The whitefish bring intelligence. The bream ensure healthy livers. The chub give vibrant skin. Our Ara River and Thunner Sea yield in abundance, and I am appropriately respectful. The sound of wood slapping wood jerks me away. An old man has just been locked into the stocks behind me. A small crowd gathers. I listen. The man is called Wilhelm. His crime? Playing cards. The church police are foolish indeed, and they don't understand how evil comes in more subtle guises than card games. My neck prickles. It is as though a spider crawls slowly up my spine. I walk quickly out of the square onto a narrow street. A wise dog sidles out of my path, glancing at me cautiously over his shoulder. I pass the public bathhouse and go up the second street on the left. Music wafts from the instrument maker's shop. He tests a new lute. I imagine its pearl-like body, the belly pierced with holes in the pattern of a rose, the neck lined with brass frets. I gasp at its imagined beauty. My fingers itch to create, with needle and thread, with bow and fiddle. My mouth is dry with want. This lute captivates. A woman will buy it for her daughter, who will give it to her daughter, who will give it to her daughter. Just as my mother gave me my fiddle, and as I will give the fiddle to Zell someday. The lute will have a history as my fiddle does. Beauty will prevail. I climb a flight of stairs and walk across flowered terraces that serve at once as footpaths in front of the second level of shops and as roofs of the shops below. I go directly to the house of the scribe.
"Ah, good day, madam," the scribe squints.
Recognition flashes. His eyes glint with greed.
"It's good to see you again."
I have every intention of satisfying his greed. There is no one else in the room, so I can look carefully before I choose. The scribe moves immediately to a large stack of paper sheets. He holds his thumb and index finger apart the distance of a plum.
"This much?"
Usually I buy a stack only the thickness of a grape. The scribe is trying to lure me into being extravagant, the absurd little man. Perhaps business is bad. But today he needn't work at tricking me. I respond to my own compulsion. Twice that.
"Very good."
The scribe takes even more than twice and sets it on the scale. He puckers his lips as if to whistle, then looks quickly at me. He writes down the price of the paper in silence.
"And ink?"
I am already standing before the enormous jars. I close my eyes and will myself to see. The mare blows hot and soft on Zell's cheeks. The girl is happy and safe. I open my eyes. The scribe stands before me, holding a small empty bottle, ready to fill it. I point, not anticipating my own words, but content as they come out. That and that and that.